is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. Tonight we are jumping on to hit a few quick NBA stories that have come across the wire this week. Jay, why don't you give us the first topic of discussion for our NBA pod?
We got to talk about Kyrie first. Kyrie in practice yesterday took an elbow apparently and has a left side facial fracture, which he sustained yesterday during workouts. He is currently listed as day to day.
Well, the Phantom of the Opera, Kyrie is back.
Is he going to be the black mask, or is he going to be the white mask or clear mask? Like, which one was it?
I think he did clear.
I've got a picture right here. He did have a black mask in one game, but okay. I feel like they NBA said that wasn't.
Yeah,
allowed.
I feel like he went clear. He should have went with the one that Mike had to wear during when he broke his nose at Kent. That would have been a fun one. They took a piece of plastic, and I had to lay on the training table, and they heated up this plastic and pressed it down over my face to mold it to my face, and then did the cutouts around my eyes. So I think I had to wear that. I think I wore the mask for 2-3 games.
Kyrie's
like
done
that.
It for the Cavs. He's done it for the Celtics, apparently, because he scored 14 points in a game against the Brooklyn Nets.
Is it possible to have weak facial bones? Is that a thing?
Let's be honest. He's got weak bones. I mean, he's sprained a lot of ankles and done a lot of things. And
I guess when you're getting in the lane and you're small and sneaky and you can get in there and you know you tend to get your face in the play in the way of elbows. So
yeah. So I'm sure he'll be fine. He's only listed as day to day, but
interesting. I mean, just it's kind of hard to. It was surprising when that came across, and then the fact that, you know, it seems like a facial fracture sometimes, depending on where it is, that it could be more severe. So good that it's day-to-day, especially for Brooklyn wanting to get things going there and get him incorporated into the team and have a full training camp. So hopefully he'll be fine.
All right, second story from today. It doesn't sound like Jaylen Brown's going to be a Celtic for much longer after the season. There's a large gap in what he thinks he's worth and what the Celtics are willing to give him. The report is that Jaylen Brown's camp thinks he's worth a 5-year, $170 million contract.
I think his camp, they must have had the same TV package that you had, because they couldn't see him play in the World Cup and that he didn't play very much or very well when he did play.
I mean, that's basically saying he's better than Tatum, right? They think that he's better than Tatum. I mean, because that's how much maybe Tatum could command, depending on how healthy he is and the season.
I mean, you would think if you had a choice between the two, based on what their careers have looked like so far, you would think that, yes, that Tatum would be the guy that would get the bigger extension. But I don't know. Let's put it this way. If I'm the Boston Celtics or any other NBA franchise, I'm not lining up out the door to pay Jaylen Brown $170 million
more money
over 5 years.
That's definitely more money than Kevin Love was getting, right?
Kevin Love got, 4 years, 120, I think?
So it's slightly
more per year. I mean, Love obviously had a bigger, better resume heading into that contract signing than what
Jaylen
Brown's
a little younger, but still, I don't know about that. I'm not trying to compare him to Kevin Love. I just think that's the person that I thought of.
There needs to be more. I mean, Jaylen Brown's going to have a big year this year and really prove something in order to be able to come close to that contract.
What team's going to pay him that much?
I mean, he is in the mold of guys that are valuable in the league. He's a guy who – he's not a great three-point shooter, but he can certainly shoot threes. He's a good defender. He's athletic. He's young. He fits the mold of somebody that – there might be a team out there that has cap space that would be willing to take a chance on signing him, but he will only be a restricted free agent. So Boston would have the right, I believe, to match whatever contract that he signs.
I don't think they're going to match that much.
If I was Boston, I mean, there's certainly, you would think they'd have a number in mind of, hey, we're not going to go beyond that. And I would think that 5 years, $170 million would be way beyond what that line is.
The BS pod on Friday is, because you know that Simmons is going to go off about this, right?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Who knows?
All right.
Who knows?
Next thing, the talk of the town. I didn't even know this was a thing until you said something to me today. LaMelo Ball, #1 pick? Question mark.
Apparently, he's been tearing it up down under. in the Australian Professional League. And I think there was a lot of, from what I read, just after I saw the headline, I'm like, I got to read a little bit about this and figure it out. And people basically said that the scouting report on him is that he's has similar ability as a passer to Lonzo, which was obviously Lonzo's strength coming out of college, that he was just a really good passer. But LaMelo, I think, is an inch or two taller. I think he's probably a better shooter than Lonzo, although that's not saying a whole lot. But people just like the way that he's played and the way he's looked against professional players. Now, granted, not NBA players, but he's playing against grown men who are professionals. And apparently he's been playing well enough that there's been some serious, you know, it's not, this isn't like crackpot reporting of people just throwing it out there that, you know, he's played four games in Australia and now suddenly he's the number one pick. Okay. These are people who are in the know that seem to think that he's going to be, you know, under consideration to be the number one pick next year.
He spent all last year in the Cleveland area. Let's bring him back.
Bring him back.
Cavs, man. We put Sexton, Darius Garland.
And well, at least LaMelo's tall. At least LaMelo's taller.
We'll go to the definition of a small ball lineup.
Well, then we got to trade for LeVar.
I don't think LeVar would be here. I think he's going to be down in New Orleans.
You think so?
I think that would be where he would be.
I don't know. Does he leave the L.A. city limits? I don't know if he's, you know, it might be illegal for him to do that. Or is he in Australia?
He's probably in Australia now, I would assume.
He could be.
I don't know.
It's an interesting development. I mean, I don't think that if you'd have asked me 3 days ago, would LaMelo Ball be drafted?
In the NBA?
Would he be near the top of the draft? You know, I certainly would have not said yes. So, an interesting development. It'll be curious to see how that goes as the year progresses and we get closer and we get more draft information and the college season plays its way out. We'll see where LaMelo ends up next June when the draft rolls around.
All right, and I think the last thing we have to talk about is the Milwaukee Bucks getting fined $50,000. Now, some might say, well, why did they get fined, Mike? Why don't you tell the world why the Milwaukee Bucks got fined?
The Milwaukee Bucks were tampering
with
their own, with their own player.
What?
With Giannis. How does this happen?
I think you said it best. The NBA is cracking down on the tampering.
I mean, I know the intent of the new tampering rules, which, I don't know. To me,
they're smoke and mirrors, in my opinion.
But. Yeah, I don't think, I just don't think there's any way that you can police something that nobody truly wants to be policed. Like, I want you to be policed on tampering, but I want to be able to tamper all I want. And that's really the situation that we have in the NBA where, you know, collectively the teams could decide, hey, we're just not going to behave that way. We're not going to conduct ourselves and, you know, make these deals before we're supposed to even be talking to players. You know, you had all those deals that were announced at 6:01 PM that were multi-year deals that were negotiated between a team and a player. Well, those negotiations didn't happen in 30 seconds. So the fact that clearly teams are talking to players before they're theoretically allowed to, but everybody is doing it. It's not like one team is doing it. It's every team is doing it. And I just don't think there's a way that you can police it. But this is ridiculous. I mean, if this is the start of what they're going to try to do, that we're saying we're going to offer Giannis
a max
contract when his current contract is up, I don't see how.
And by the way, he didn't even say it in like a press con. I mean, it was at a town hall thing or some kind of event. They asked him a question, and he was like, yeah, I think obviously we would be offering him a max contract. That's basically what it said and what he did. It wasn't like he called a press conference and made this announcement. Someone asked him a question about offering him the max contract, which obviously, I mean, let's be honest. We know that Giannis is going to get the max contract. He just won the MVP. He's the best player in the NBA right now, probably. I mean, it's just ridiculous to think that the NBA is like, oh, I kind of hope Milwaukee, like, can they appeal it? Can they be like, listen, he's on our team. He was asked a question. I wasn't making, like, a public statement. I think it's pretty common knowledge. It's not like he said, oh, I'm going to try to get LeBron in 2 years to come join the team. Like,
right. I don't know what the appeal process would be. I'm not sure who you would appeal to. I mean, there's obviously got to be somebody. There's got to be some precedent for teams appealing a fine, but I don't know what that process looks like. I think the greater question here is there really any way that the NBA can crack down on tampering through passing new rules or new bylaws? Can they really prevent teams from making contact with players outside of the prescribed time when they're supposed to be during the free agent period. Is there any way they can do that? I don't know what your take is on it, but I don't think they can police it.
I was going to go somewhere with it, but I decided to not go there. We're not going to get political on this podcast.
All right. Yeah, I just don't. I don't think they can. I don't think there's a way that they can police the tampering. Because one, what's to prevent me if I play for the Lakers and you play for the Bucks? What's to prevent me from calling you up as player to player?
We don't even have to call each other up. We can talk with our hands in front of our mouth. Yeah, right. Like this.
After the post game hug.
It's very, very, very visual that you can't see this, but you know, they cover their mouth and they start talking to one another.
So I just don't know that there's any way to prevent that. Yes, maybe they can prevent. I'm not sure they can prevent teams from putting together contracts and kind of doing the wink-wink agreements between agents and teams and players. I just think there's a whole lot of things there's this tangled web of stuff that's going on. I just don't know how you police it unless collectively the entire league agrees to follow the rules by the letter of the law. We all know that even if 29 teams follow it, when one team has an opportunity to grab a free agent or get an advantage, it's just going to happen. It's going to happen. There's no way to legislate it out of the game, I don't think.
I want your thought on this, and I've heard been thrown around that they flip-flop the draft and free agency and do free agency before the draft. Do you think that would help the situation and just do free agency like right when the season's over, or do you think that doesn't really solve the problem? It might just cause more problems like in season.
I don't know that it causes more problems. I don't know that it has any effect on tampering. To me, the effect would be that when you put free agency ahead of the draft, then teams could maybe look at their needs in the draft slightly differently. So it might be an advantage there. But I don't think in terms of tampering that it would really make a whole lot of difference, because regardless of when that free agent period is, there's always going to be teams that are going to be talking to through back channels, through agents, through hangers-on, through whoever. They're going to get to the players that they want to get to so that they can have those conversations. So when free agency does open, they already know they got the guy in their back pocket that they're going to be able to sign him. So I don't think you can legislate it out of the game. I don't think that there's anything you can do to the calendar. I just think that it's a reality of today's NBA that with the player movement and the fact that guys are moving teams and there's certainly less loyalty to a team than there used to be. And again, from a team standpoint, there's probably less loyalty towards the player than there's ever been. And I think all that has led to this unprecedented era of player movement. And as a result of that, free agency has become more and more important. It's become more and more entertainment. It's become more and more content for people like us who just want to talk and discuss the league and what's going on. So to me, yeah, the league wants to get rid of tampering. They want to try to eliminate it, but I just don't think, A, it's feasible, and B, I think part of what makes the NBA offseason fun is the fact that there's all this speculation about who's talking to who and who's already got a deal done and all this. And you know, it's the old saying of not necessarily bad publicity, but any publicity at all is good publicity. And so it gets people talking about the league, and ultimately I think that's probably good for the NBA. So I don't think they can legislate it.
I don't think they really want to. I think they just kind of felt like there was such a big backlash as to what was going on that they had to say, oh, we're taking a stand. I just think that this is ridiculous that the first thing they're taking a stand on is an owner who has a player already on their team and says, oh yeah, we're going to offer him the max contract. Like, well, duh. Like, I just don't know. I think the NBA needs to. I know once again you say any publicity is good publicity, especially at this point for the NBA, because I mean, essentially the NBA has become, basketball has become a 12-month sport at this point. Whereas I still think like the MLB has, they don't really do anything in the winter, and I think the NFL kind of has a dead period. I kind of feel like NBA is the one sport that doesn't really have a dead period anymore, and I think they like that.
Yeah, I mean, now I'd say probably August and September are probably the two slowest months, and yet, you know, I think there's always something that you can talk about. There's always some story. I think because the NBA is so personality-driven and star-driven that those guys are always going to be in the news. There's always going to be something going on. There's always going to be something to report that's interesting, and we're only, what, 2 weeks away from the start of training camp now, less than that probably. I forget media day is like maybe October 1st, and then training camp rolls around after that. So it's coming quick, and the season's going to be here before we know it. And as you said, the NBA is it's a 12-month a year business for sure.
I remember one other rumor that I saw. I'm like,
okay.
The supposed first trailer for Space Jam 2.
Okay.
Christmas Day.
Okay.
So that's what they're saying. There's no confirmation. But
do you really want to release it on the day it's going to compete with five
NBA No, the, games? It's the, I'm saying the trailer.
Oh, the trailer's going to
come out. The trailer's going to come out
during the Christmas Day
during the
games.
Laker Warriors or whoever they
that.
Play.
Makes
that's,
sense.
That's what I saw. I saw that a few days ago on Twitter. I thought it makes sense.
The rumor you're going to throw out there was the Chris Paul to Miami rumor.
Well, that was the other one too. I don't know. I think if anything, I don't think Miami is even going to think about that deal. And I think the other problem that they have is I don't think they have any. I don't know if
who are the assets that
who
they
the
give
assets
up?
They're going to give up, and I just don't know that they have anything. And I think the thing is, if I'm Miami, I want to see him play for a little. I don't want to just go into the season and think. And if I'm Oklahoma City, I want to think about doing the same thing because, heck, you know, maybe I can get more for him than I think. And I know once again, his contract might be an albatross by the end of it, and that's the big question. And someone threw an idea out there about him possibly going to Milwaukee if they could make that work and getting rid of Eric.
I guess if you could upgrade from Bledsoe to Chris Paul, that's a solid upgrade. But I'm not sure that Chris Paul is a great fit with Giannis. I just don't think that's – I don't know that you want a ball-dominant guy taking the ball out of Giannis' hands as much as Chris Paul. Because Chris Paul can play off the ball, but he's most effective when he has the ball. And then in Miami – he makes sense for sure. I mean, I think he makes sense that if you could fit him in, but again, what is Miami going to give up? I guess they got Dragic's contract, so you could get Goran Dragic back in return, and you know, probably their best young players would be Justice Winslow and Adebayo, but would they be willing to give either one of those guys up in order to get 34-year-old Chris Paul, who's still owed whatever, $100 million over the next 3 years or whatever it is? I'd have to say the answer to that probably is no.
I agree.
All right, that wraps it up for this week. We are working on a extravaganza preview episode where we are talking to NBA podcasters, hopefully in each NBA city, and we're going to hopefully get that episode or episodes, depending on how we decide to organize it, whether we do it by divisions or conferences or whether we release it team by team. We're still working on it, but that will be coming in the coming weeks, heading into training camp and getting ready for the regular season to open on October 22nd. So thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.